and a warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's draw at Spartans, preview the final league game of the season against Dumbarton, and after another late goal at the weekend, we discuss how important those late goals have been to our season. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Toon Podcast. I am Colin Byles, and as ever, with myself is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. Good week this week?
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, can I complain?
For those that have been keeping score, I finally managed to get my grass cut. So yes, it's a really good week because I got about a 5 minute window last week and Thursday to get cut. So I'm delighted and pleased with that. So that was one of my jobs ticked off. Although as I look out the window just now, it looks as though it's been cut again already. So yeah, it's one of those. But yeah, another decent week. Playing around us with the weather, got soaked yesterday. The Burns football once again. But other than that, yeah, can't complain.
Oh, it was a bit of a miserable
Sunday
yesterday, was it? Wasn't it?
It
wasn't a great
attack. Well, I kept telling you on Saturday that we were at Shenixley. We weren't. We were at Alton's. Neither that made any difference to the weather, but
that's all I say.
But thankfully, I wasn't driving, or else we would have ended up in Shenixley.
Just as well.
So no, it was actually just behind Cove's ground, which is one of the artificial pitches is behind there. So yeah, it was all right. So just as well, it was an artificial pitch. Or else it could have been a waterlogged area. But no, it was it was another calling. But hey, that's what we can expect at the end of April.
But do you get warmer in April? You also told me at the weekend you'd start your work on Friday.
I did, yes. That I can confirm that was indeed the case. That wasn't just one of those craps things we were speaking about on the bus on the way down the road. But no, yeah, definitely 100% on Friday we'd start. I was speaking to somebody yesterday and they said there was snow in Huntley as well, so it's certainly taken off with this April showers, like.
It's not in April, honestly.
Yeah. Right, speaking of good weather, as you will know, Euro 2024 is fast approaching. A couple of weeks ago, Peter Hayden gauged interest in having a fan zone for the three Scotland games against Germany, Switzerland and Hungary in the group stage. No word if they're going to carry it on into the knockout stage if and when Scotland get through. But they last week they announced that they were going to be officially doing it, and tickets were on sale last week. So it would be £10 for adults, £5 for kids under the age of 16. All the games are 7:45 as well, which I think might be an advantage for it as well. Certainly, I think the Germany one would be quite busy on the Friday night, which is obviously the opening ceremony as well. So it's the opening game, a lot of eyes on the game. Really good idea, I think, this. And another way of sort of garnering the community together and getting everybody together. And more importantly, just keeping the income for the club coming in as well.
Yeah, I think in the past we've, you know, people's been critical that Peter Hayden maybe didn't do as much or advertise that they're doing things, and there is a lot of good work that they do that they maybe didn't advertise. But this is one of them things, especially the Friday night game with Germany, as you said, the opening ceremony. It is a Friday night, a lot of people will be off their work on the Saturday, so I think that one will be very well attended, hopefully, because I mean it's good of the club to put something on. I think it's probably reasonably priced as well. We spoke about this a few weeks ago and we're sort of trying to guess the ticket and structure and then the pricing of it, and we did think, well, if it was like 10 and 5, it's probably about what you'd expect to pay to go into something like that. So, no, I think it's a very good thing that the club's doing. There'll all be other bits and pieces that they're doing on the nights as well. So, yeah, hopefully they're well attended and well supported by the community.
Yeah, DJ Entertainment doesn't specify who the DJ is, of course. you never know, it could be somebody like Fatboy Slim, but I highly doubt it, but you never know. But as I said, all the games are at 7:45, the doors open at 6:30 up in the hospitality suite at Balmoor. All the details is on the PFC website and on their social medias as well, and I think, as I said, tickets went on sale on the Thursday or the Friday last week, and by all accounts, they're going pretty quick already. So yeah, it would be interesting to see just what kind of the total number of people is going to be going to these three things.
When we say DJ entertainment, does that basically mean it's Ken Spotify that's being played over the loudspeakers? Is that what it is? Yeah, hopefully it's well attended. Like I said, these things, they do not come around often. We're delighted to be at the Euros, and hopefully we're well supported in Balmoor as well, because as I said, the club are putting something extra on and it's worth well supporting it.
Or it could be Jason Spotify, because he was doing the music on Saturday.
Going by Jason's choice on Saturday, then might move on to Ken's.
there was one or two good ones there. Other than that, no, there wasn't many. Yeah, so we look forward to that. We'll be there. Definitely on the Germany game, but maybe I'll wait and see what happens for the other two. Last week as well, we had Ryan Strachan on our final Friday Night Live of the season. One of these things that we've said before, we've introduced this season just to sort of see how it is, just to try and keep the content fresh. And Ryan Strachan did not disappoint, as he kind of equipped that he was dying to get on a wee bit earlier in the season. But as we said, we sort of kept it the best to last. And once again, the half an hour just seemed to go by pretty quick. We didn't even get through a lot of the stuff that we wanted to mention. Obviously, we didn't get through his testimonial, his 350th game for the club, etc., etc. But yeah, once again, another really good chat with Ryan, and a few things, as ever, these things, a few things come out, and he's obviously hinted at a couple of things that might be happening in the summertime as well.
Yeah, he spoke very openly without giving too much away, if that makes sense. And obviously, we ken Ryan's quite a personal sort of guy. He doesn't give too much away. But I thought, well, the feedback that we've had at the interview was very good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think the whole section of the Friday Night Lives has been well received. We've tried to get a mixture of different, co-managers and players and at certain times of the season. And so hopefully, like we said, I'll continue into next season. But I thought Ryan was really good on Friday. Obviously, we spoke to him a wee bit afterwards as well. And yeah, he didn't have a bat with anything. He gave us as much information as he could, with also trying to keep things private as a club matter as well. So yeah, we appreciate him taking the time on the Friday night, especially before such a crucial away game as well. Got to bear in mind the timing of it. He's got a family and everything to deal with. So yeah, really appreciate him coming on.
You can tell he's a good card player, because, as you said, he keeps his cards quite close to his close to his chest.
Yeah, yeah.
He gives you enough just to kind of let you think, oh, we've got someone here, and then yeah, it keeps to himself. But yeah, there was really good things that he said. One thing it did surprise us, and we kind of touched on it on the way down to the road on Saturday, was he would be expecting about six or seven players to be coming in the summer, or he'd like six or seven players to come in, which would suggest then you're looking at maybe six or seven leaving at the same time.
Yeah, he sort of hinted that there might be a couple leaving as well, which isn't really a surprise, but it's surprising that a co-manager would say it. That doesn't mean that, he shouldn't be saying it, but it's that openness, and, we've been crying out for that for the club for, years and years, and it's just nice to have that openness connection between the club, the managers, directors, whatever. But he's probably right, there probably will be one or two move on. It's good that they've identified players that they would like to get. Whether that is achievable, if we were to remain in League 2, they certainly think they can get them if they're in League 1, but League 2 might be slightly more difficult. But the fact that they've earmarked their targets already shows massive, preparation. The work has gone into it. The season's not even done. They've already identified the areas that they want to improve, the areas that they think that they need to be better at. And it's very meticulous, and that's got to be praised as well.
It might be the case because they are so organised, they may well have spoken to the players that they may try to move on in the summer, and just say, right, come the summertime, we'll be moving you on. And that then gives the said player the time to maybe organise what they're going to be doing during the summertime, but at the same time, it just means that everybody knows what's happening as well, that they're quite open with
it. Yeah, it doesn't leave anybody in limbo. I'd imagine that them conversations have probably taken place behind the scenes, you know, trying to figure out the direction they want to go. And there's maybe certain players that don't want to be here next season in terms of geographically. They maybe want to get somewhere closer. They maybe want to move on and maybe feel that it's not quite worked out for them this season and want to try something different. There's different reasons why players might move on, different, you know, even like the choice of system that Ryan and Jordan play in, it might not be to everybody's cup of tea. And that's why I think it's really crucial that they've identified the targets that they want, and hopefully they're able to secure that they're top men.
Yeah, so I think we will see the Friday Night Live back again next season, but for just now, that will be shelved, because at this rate, obviously the season is vastly coming to an end. The next time we would want to do a Friday Night Live, I would suspect most of them will be either on holiday or going to holiday, so it might be a bit more difficult to try and nail somebody down. But yeah, we'll certainly try and bring it back again at the start of next season and take it from there. So on to Saturday's game down at Spartans, big game as it was, we talked about last week, making sure that we try and secure second place as quickly as possible, and then with a 2-2 draw, really good game. I thought, looking back on it and thinking back on it, evenly matched game, evenly matched sides. First half I think was a bit more frantic than what the second half was, but certainly it was an entertaining game.
Yeah, it was two well matched teams. I thought both teams realised the importance of trying to get the win. I don't think it was ever going to be a game that ended 0-0. Both teams, you know, the way they set up, they want to try and score goals. And yeah, as you said, the first half was a wee bit more frantic than what the second half was. I thought the second half did calm down a wee bit. But yeah, as you said, a very good game, and what was a really good afternoon weather-wise as well.
I think once Spartans went 2-1 up, I think it was maybe it wasn't blatantly obvious, but you just felt as though they were... They didn't go in the attack as much as they were in the first half, perhaps maybe because they'd gone behind and they needed to push on, and they knew that, you know, the minimum they needed was a draw to that game to sort of keep in touch and try and win the game. But after that they went up, I don't think there was maybe too much in the offering from the home side going forward.
Weirdly, I think them going 2-1 ahead actually helped us because we had to try and force it to try and get back into the game. I think we said it on Saturday, the game going on in our 5-10 minutes, we'd have probably, again, a wee bit like the Elgin game, we'd have probably gone on to win it. Once they went 2-1 up, I think they were slightly more cautious. They didn't try and go forward as quickly as what they did on the break. But nevertheless, you give the guys credit for yet again coming back late on.
Before we get too much into the game, just want to sort of touch on the hospitality and the welcome that we got the down there at Spartans. Really impressed with what they have in there. Everybody was really friendly. Everybody was chatting away. Good to meet Kenny in the flesh as well. Obviously, been on the podcast a few times. To preview the Spartans game, so it was good to have a quick chat with him. I know he was fairly busy behind the scenes doing other things as well. But yeah, no, I was thoroughly impressed with the setup there, and you can see there's potential there for growth for them.
Oh, aye, massive potential. It's almost what we've got with a bar area and also the area upstairs, but on a smaller scale, and you can genuinely see that there is room for potential. I also like the wee feature they had a couple of players, granted they weren't playing in the game, but they were up speaking to the guests in the hospitality area. And I thought it was a nice wee touch. maybe, again, you try and take positives from your experiences away, and it's maybe something we can try and get at Balmour, where, you know, you've got a player that's not in the squad or that they're out injured or whatever. Maybe just doing it a wee bit at half-time or before the game with the hospitality guys upstairs. But, no, a really good set-up. Yeah, bar area was nice as well. It's very, very open and fresh. It was like a dingy sort of place. So, no, overall, I thought it was a very nice place and more well looked after as well.
Yeah, we were well looked after by one man in particular as well, Thomas, who seemed to be our personal personal host, who was fantastic, and even right at the end of the game as well, took the time to wish us well for the rest of the season and for our journey home as well, which was a nice touch.
Yeah, it's a lot of things that go a long way. You know, we're aware of the setup about the timings, and obviously Thomas allowed us to stay in there for that extra little bit longer as well. And yeah, it's those little things that go a long way in the smaller clubs. And yeah, we're well looked after by Thomas, so thank you very much.
And granted, I think that was just before we scored the second goal, so he maybe wouldn't have been.
Well, yeah, there was an argument to say that if he'd done it 5 minutes later, he might have been actually thrown us on the bus. But yeah, nevertheless, it was a nice touch by him as well.
Right, so back into the game. In the lineup, there was two changes. In came Andy McCarthy and Scott Ross, and out went Robert Ward and Ryan Strachan, who, for this the second month in a row, a player has come on to the Friday Live, said, "Oh yeah, everybody's available," and then it drops out of the squad completely. With Caleb Goldie doing that the previous time as well. However, I do think maybe this was, because he sort of touched on it himself, they were looking at to give players enough minutes ahead of the playoffs, so this might have been one of those games where he came out and he wanted to give Scott Ross a full 90 minutes.
Yeah, I can't remember whether Ryan said it on the recording or whether he said it afterwards, but he said he was looking at the club where Ryan and Jordan were looking to give Scott 90 minutes and, you know, get the minutes back in the leg. So, an overly great surprise to see Ryan drop out, you know, give him a wee bit of a rest as well, and Scott play the full 90 minutes. That was planned. But yeah, another person comes on the Friday, says everybody's fit, and then he doesn't play himself. So you mentioned earlier about Ryan playing cards. He was playing cards with Rory on the way down in the bus, and yeah, certainly two guys that I wouldn't like to be playing cards against, because I don't think you would win much for them.
No, I don't think so. We did sort of see the best and the worst of Stuart McKenzie in this game. Brilliant save he had earlier on down to his left-hand side at the near post. With a great save, which obviously stopped Spartans going ahead early on. Then there was the two chances for Spartans straight after. One was a heavy touch with a back pass, which he did sort of get tackled, but he managed to get back and get the bar. And then there was the long punt up the park as well, where he sort of come to collect it. Drops it, and the shot from, I think it was Ewan Henderson, gets cleared off the line. He played well, but at the same time he looked a little bit shaky at times.
Yeah, a wee bit. You're never quite sure on these sort of pitches how the bounce is going to go.
Yeah,
it's nice something that Stuart plays on week in, week out. Yeah, it's just one of them things. I guess as a keeper, it's always, you know, your mistakes or anything are slightly more heightened by the fact that you're the last line of defence. But, you know, if a midfielder misses it, then you've got two lines of defence, whereas the keeper misses it, he is the last line of defence. But, yeah, as you said, we've seen the best and the worst, but even then, that's not really the worst for Stuart. We've seen poor again, you know, last season when he was in front of a shocking defence. But if that's the worst that we've seen this season, then we're quite happy.
The one that was cleared off the line in particular, I think it was Jason Brown that clears it off the line, just kind of sums up the team at the minute. You know, they were really quick to react. Before you knew it, there was about three or four that were ready to stop what potentially could have been an opening goal. Jason stopped it going over the line, but it could have been one or two others that he could have done it, and that just kind of shows you the determination and togetherness, and then just sort of standing and looking and oh well, that's I made a mistake, that's going to be a goal, but the look to try and react and make sure that those mistakes don't end up in errors.
Yeah, I mean, the keepers will always make mistakes, that's just part and parcel of the game, but it's that willingness to try and help out your teammate. As you said, Jason clearing it off the line, that hunger to try and keep a clean sheet, you know, that's their first thought. Okay, Stuart's, he's made an error of sort, it's not worked out for him, but his first thought is get back in the line and make sure we didn't go a goal down. And yeah, as you said, that just shows that determination to try and keep a clean sheet and win games.
But at the other end, it was us that had got the opening goal, 25 minutes on the clock. really good finish this from Hamish Ritchie. It comes from Caleb Goldie picking up a loose ball on the halfway line, and his determination just to get forward, just had the one thought in mind, just to drive forward. Gets the ball, gets the ball to Alfie Stewart on the edge of the 18-yard box, and he, with his quick feet, which we've seen quite a few times this season, was able to give himself half a yard of space and then get the ball across to Hamish at the other side of the 18-yard box. And just one thought in his mind, really, is just to get that shot away first time, and he curls it beautifully into that far corner.
Yeah, easy to take. I mean, I was critical of him last week up at Elgin. He maybe took a touch too many, or his footwear wasn't right, but I thought he was really good on Saturday. He had that, you said, one thought in his mind, good ball for Alfie Short, good way to pass on it as well, and as you said, first time in the bottom corner. Keeper's now getting to it. And I think probably at that point, probably just about Edge being in front, apart from them hitting the Stuart McKenzie save, as well as Jason clearing off the line. I thought we were worthy at that time out of going 1-0 up as well.
Yeah, because we'd a lot of the ball at that stage, and I think Paul had a good driving run at one stage as well, driving forward. So we were really up for it and really pushing on and deserved that lead, as you said. And that takes Hamish Ritchie to 10 goals for the season as well, and that's his third goal in four games. So he's having one of those runs where everything seems to be going right for him. And that can only just sort of boost his confidence going on for the rest of the season.
Yeah, he does that, does he? Going through purple patches, where at times he's maybe not quite hitting the heights, but as you said, he's now got 3 and 4, and he's looking sharper than ever. And I think not only the timing of the goal, but going away to a team in the playoffs and taking that lead, given our away form this calendar year as well, I thought it was a crucial time in the world. I think if you'd maybe gone a goal down against a team that you came very good defensively, we might have maybe struggled a wee bit to get back into the game, but I think taking the lead was very important psychologically as well.
And rightly, as you said, we were on top. Alfie Stewart had a shot blocked as well inside the Spartans' 18-yard box. Conor O'Keefe had one as well from range. He was trying to hit a curling effort, but maybe didn't get enough on it. It ended up being a pretty standard save for the Spartans keeper. And you were pretty confident that Spartans weren't in the game at that stage.
Yeah, I guess the phrase, you've got to take your chances when you're on top. I think it had gone 2-0. I don't think Spartans were coming back, but whilst it was always 1-0, you just felt they had something about them, but we just never quite got into a grey area for a second. Apart from Hamish Ritchie's, as you said, there was a few chances, but nothing clear cut and stick on. And that's maybe the only frustration for the first half, that we couldn't really try and nail down a second.
And because we didn't nail on a second 10 minutes before the end of the second half, just before the half time, I should say, the Spartans equalised. Huge deflection on this one, which wrong-footed McKenzie, it has to be said, and it just got a bemoaned of luck that we've had this season, and that I think that really killed the momentum for us, because I think if we'd gone in 1-0 up at the break, I think our tails would have up, we've been going right, yeah, we've got this, we can sort of push on and try and get a second and try and kill off the game, but that I think just. I didn't want to say that it killed the confidence on the way, but you just kind of felt, ugh, right, okay, that's them back in with a really huge deflection, a dodgy goal.
Yeah, I think the wind was taken from ourselves. I think, as I said, we went 1-0 up, but we didn't really have a clear-cut chance for a second. I think the timing of our goal as well, as you said, if we get into half-time, you're probably really pleased and you're sort of thinking, right, if you can get a goal in the next 10 minutes or so in the second half, it's a completely different game. I think the team talks changed for both managers as well. They just got back in the game, and obviously the ascendancy then becomes with them. They're the home team. They'll come out the traps flying that wee bit more. And again, I go back to their away form this calendar year. Hasn't it been great? All these things play a huge part in such an important game when you're playing a team, it's in the playoffs with you. But yeah, I think if it had gone into half-time 1-0 up like you, I think would have been okay in the game, but it's unfortunate, a huge strike a lot that they got to get back into it.
And Henderson, top goal scorer in the league, misses a gilt-edged chance just right on the half-time whistle, and it's one that he probably should be scoring, and then suddenly going for, well, we're pretty comfortable here at 1-0 up, we went in the break, we could well have been 2-1 down.
Yeah, weirdly, once Henderson missed that chance, you're sort of grateful for half-time, just to try and get in it and regroup again, because they've obviously got a massive slice of luck with the deflection, and then that chance as well for Henderson, you just think, right, okay, maybe this end of the season's turning a wee bit, so yeah, pretty pleased again at half-time level after they'd missed that.
And as I said, 10 minutes into the second half, Cammy Russell gets his second of the game, and it's a good strike, it's a good goal from Spartans' point of view, but from a Peterhead point of view, a defensive point of view, it really poor goal to give away. Prior to the free kick being given, we've given the ball away in one half, I think it is, and then given away the free kick, which results in the goal. But after the free kick's been taken, they win the second ball, and the disappointing thing here, nobody gets close enough to Russell before he takes a shot.
Yeah, and that's the bugbear. It's okay conceding goals to an extent, but the way that one came about, I think we were slow to react to the quick free kick. They've taken it quick, and as you said, maybe you can get Runa Bua. He's faced up McKenzie, and he's put it past him, but very, very poor goal to concede for our point of view.
So from then on, you know, with 30 minutes to go, it is pretty much one-way traffic. As I said earlier on, it didn't look as though that Spartans were really wanting to push on in case they opened up too many gaps at the back, because they knew at that stage, with the way the results were going, they were sitting in second place, so they were quite happy to come away with that with a single goal win. But we've made changes. Rory McAllister comes on, Joe McKee comes on, Jordan Brown comes on, Robert Ward comes on as well, Danny Strachan. All five sort of contributed towards the end of the game as well. Rory McAllister heavily involved and probably should have equalised much earlier than we did, with a header from about 6 yards out. Really good cross in for Jordan Brown. And he's on the 6 yard line. I know he's stretching and he's sort of stooping. Excuse me, low. I think he should be hitting the target here.
A man of Rory's calibre, and you try to say if they're running in the lower leagues that you want to give him a chance with a header 6 yards out, it probably would be Rory. And he's probably disappointed himself that he's now finished that. I think 9 times out of 10 he does. And just on this one occasion, he's now managed to score. But it's one of them that he was in the right place at the right time. He just didn't get the connection right.
And he did score. But this time it was ruled off for offside. Brilliant ball for Alfie Stewart, who was put in another brilliant performance again. I have to say, on the day, it looked tight but this time we were standing behind the goal, so we would say it looked tight. The sort of murmurings around about on the Boston away game, he was onside, and having seen it back again, he's definitely onside for this one. So it's a huge call for the linesman to give it offside. But I think if you watch it back and see it again, you'll definitely see he was onside, and we should have been level at that stage.
Yeah, I've not had a chance to watch it back. Yeah, I thought that on the day that obviously it was tight, but I thought he was marginally on. You'd seen the lines and put up his flag earlier than what I did. I generally thought he was on. And obviously you've seen it back and you still think he's on. So, yeah, it's a massive call for the linesman, such a crucial time as well. The only thing is he got his flag up early. Mm. And you would think, well, he must be pretty sure about it. Obviously, I got the perfect angle to look across it to see it properly. But, huge call by the linesman at that stage of the game.
Yeah, so again, we've had one offside, which should have stood. We've had a gilt-edged chance which should have been tucked away, and then, you know, time was running out as ever. Time was running out, but we keep going. This team just does not seem to give in at all, and we score. We sort of mentioned Spartans' goal being a huge deflection and a bit of luck, but you know, I think we've created our own luck this time for. In getting this one, Robert Ward will be given the assist for this one. But you look at this one again, you know, we're throwing bodies forward. McKenzie has a long punt up the park. It's flicked on by Rory McAllister and Jason Brown. He's up front trying to change things and try and help us get that equaliser. He plays a ball in behind the defence and you know, you think Robert Ward's going to take it around the goalkeeper and tuck it in himself, and just for a split second you see him cross and you think, what's he doing? But it's thankfully it was turned in by Kieran Watson for an own goal, and we got exactly what we deserved out of that game.
Oh, I think the least we deserved is a point from it, if I'm being brutally honest. I think Wardy, you can see what he's trying to do. He's almost like I think he's trying to dink it past the goalkeeper and just sort of squaffed it a wee bit. And then, as you said, it's ended up the defender's path and he's tucked it home. But I think it would have been very, very cool had we not gotten something for the game. Obviously, McAllister had a chance and the offside one. I think it was in Jason Brown had a shot late on as well that just went over the bar. So we're creating chances. There was a corner as well that the keeper didn't, he came for it and missed. So I think the Leeds who deserve is a point out of the game. And again, it just shows you that that team, they never give up. They never came from their beating. And yet again, we scored. But such an important goal as well, because had we, you know, 30 seconds before that, we're sitting fourth, we've got the goal, we get a point, and then we're back up to second. So it's a massive goal in the context of the whole playoffs and the season as well.
If Watson had tucked it in himself for the own goal, Jordan Brown was there, Peter Paul was there as well. So you know, somebody would have been tucking that one in for the equaliser. But again, it just shows the determination and the drive the players need to give it up and just keep going.
You're saying that. We've also seen Jordan Brown miss the 4 yards out for it on a plate to him. No offence, Jordan, but we've seen you in that situation before. But yeah, as you said, the player's in the right place at the right time. There's two guys at the back stick, and again, just shows you that willingness to try and get back in the game and get something out of it.
Yeah, and it made for a much better drive for him after that, because as you said, you know, 30 seconds before that, we're sitting fourth. You know, looking at the results, going, my Christ, we end up here, and even going to be getting in the top three at this stage. But that goal just was massive, and we talk about the sort of late shows we've had many sort of late goals this season, and we've picked up 6 points alone by scoring in injury time in games in 90 plus minutes, and that's it doesn't sound a lot. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, we're on 57 points. We would have been sitting on 51, you know, sitting down in fourth if it wasn't for those 6 points.
Yeah, it's just that psychological thing, is it? Now teams are aware that we score late goals as well. That, you know, teams kind of just sit in the edge of their own box and try and defend it. They can, that we're going to keep chapping the whole 95, 96 minutes, whatever the game is being, and just constantly... at them. And I think obviously getting that point, it puts everything back in our own hands again. Obviously, if we're doing the fourth and you're relying on Spartans and these five, and you don't really want to be looking at their games. We now know on Saturday, if you turn up and you get a point against them, Barton, then you finish second. So the fact that everything's now back in our own hands again, I think is crucial.
As I said, we're on 57 points. We've picked up a total of 18 points by scoring goals after the 80th minute mark, so for 80 minutes on up until obviously into injury time, we've picked up a total of 18 points. Without those late goals, we'd be sitting on 39 points, you know, well down the league.
39 would put you what, just below Elgin, would it, down in 7th?
Just below Elgin, down about 7th, yeah. So, yeah, you're well down the league, obviously, because of the points that we've picked up then. The points go to the other teams as well. We're overly complicating things. We'd be on 39 points instead of the 57 that we're actually on at the minute, and that's a huge testament to the players for keeping going for whistle to whistle.
It just shows you the massive difference on being second and also being mid table. And that's why it's so crucial that, you know, and it's a squad game as well. We've mentioned it throughout the season, and if you're being hypercritical, you look back again that period, December, January, you look at, obviously, you look at other results, but look at Steny, what is it, 6 games in a row now they've drawn? You know, one of the guys on the bus mentioned it, one of the playing staff mentioned it on Saturday. Had we been a wee bit closer and Steny dropping points, there was a proper title challenge on the end of the season as well. So, but hey, where we've come from last season to now, it's night and day, and, you know, to be in the second place going into the last game of the season, would have bitten your hand off for it.
Yeah, so let's get your thoughts. Just a couple this week. We'll start with Neil Thompson. sorry, Neil Thompson, he says, the boys ground out again. Not sure if the ref had a grudge against Peter Pollitt, as a few times he was completely taken out when nothing was given. Another strange game with both teams scoring one good goal and one comical one. Also good to keep second spot. Graham McLean, never say die, shines through again. Great effort all round. Didn't see anything wrong with Rory's goal, but our level of refereeing, those decisions are too common. Second place still in our hands. And Duncan Brown, Spartans are not the team we want to meet in the playoffs, judging by Saturday. We were fortunate to get the draw, but their record at Balmoor is better. I fully expect them to beat East Fife, so it seems to be we seem to be on a downward trajectory, and the only result to avoid them is a draw with Dumbarton, which would leave all three teams on 58 points with ourselves and the Suns with better goal differences. Yeah, that's kind of what you were touching on there. It's definitely in our hands. We're in a much better position now than what we were sort of 30 seconds before that the own goal went in. We'll obviously come on to the Dumbarton game shortly, but you know, a point would be sufficient to secure that second spot.
Yeah, that's all we need. And if somebody said to you, you know, 37 games ago that all you need is a point in the last day of the season to finish second, I think that would have been... playoffs was the minimum that the guys were hoping for, and that was secured a couple of weeks ago. And now it's just a case of kicking on and trying to make sure you finish second.
And the point that Neil made about the referee, there was a couple of occasions, and then just Peter Pollitt, was being taken out, but for some reason he sort of blanked those obvious fouls and wanted to keep the game going.
Yeah, the ones that you think are stick on foul were sort of waved away, and the ones that are very petty and niggly seems to be the one that he's blown up. I'd have liked him to try and, you know, let the game flow a wee bit more. It was two very good attacking sides, but I think at times they were needlessly pulled up for a lot of things that you think, well, just try and let the game go. The area in the park that the ball's at as well. But yeah, I mean, it's I think was it Graham that mentioned the standard of officiating? You'd sort of, you know, we've come to expect it now, and you know, that doesn't make it right, but you know, that's sort of what we're expecting.
So we were speaking last week, and we were sort of speaking on Saturday, just the different scenarios and different ways that the season could end and how it could end, and you know, as I said, at one stage it looked as though with Dumbarton getting beat 2-0, I think they were getting beat at one stage, and obviously we were losing, we were sitting in third, and then they come back in again, and you know, early on we were winning, and so we secured second, and that was it. But you know, it all changes on the flip of a dime kind of thing. So as we said, it's now 100% in our hands to, we know what we need to do. A point is now enough for us to secure second. Obviously, a win would be a fantastic way to end it and to secure that. Obviously, then that brings in the scenario that we will be playing Dumbarton again in the semi-final, first leg and second legs, and that takes the ninth place position in League One the equation for us as well.
Yeah, there are so many ways it can go. I think the fact that it's in their own hands, as we've touched on, is a massive psychological thing. Dumbarton now know they need to come up here and win. And there was a lot of things like that. You know, our home form is very, very strong. We scored a lot of goals at home, and I think, yeah, psychologically for Dumbarton to come up here and win. Obviously, they came up here a couple of months ago on a Tuesday night, and they played well for, you know, about an hour, 65 minutes, and then we totally turned to screw the last 15, 20 minutes of the game. So, yeah, delighted everything's in our hands. It means that we're now looking over looking over our shoulders at other scores and looking at different grounds and trying to figure out what the score is and what that means for us. Simple. You go out there and you get a point against Dumbarton and you finish second. And, yeah, I think that's massive testament to where we were last season to going last game of the season now, only needing a point.
Yeah, I mean, we'll obviously still be, having a look at elsewhere, just in case things aren't going the way it should be. We'll also be looking at what's happening at the bottom end of the table as well, because that's just as fascinating as the top end as well. We with Clyde and Shinar fighting out to see who's going to be finishing in the 10th spot.
Yeah, I had a quick look at it yesterday, and there's so many ways that can sort of go. Shinar need to win, but a Clyde draw, and if Shinar win, I think it's by 3 goals more than what Clyde do. They can over. Yeah, it's there's many different. I think the goal difference, because there's only 2 goals in it, it's only like Shinar need to win by 3 more goals if Clyde draw. Also, if Clyde win, that's it done and dusted. Mm-hmm. Shinar can't do anything. So I think Shinar's last win was that Dumbarton 5-0 game. Everybody remembers Bang Bang, Darren Lang, but that was their last win. So it just shows you they've been on an awful slide. But to go there, you know, last week of the season being bottom, yeah, it's been a tough calendar year for Shinar this year.
As I said, simple scenario for us is just to draw, and that will do it. 2 wins and the 1 loss against Dumbarton so far this season. When the loss was the last game between the two sides back in March, doing the Rock. They're unbeaten in 7, 4 wins and 3 draws. We're unbeaten in 8, 3 wins and 5 draws. So it's the battle of, you know, the unbeaten sides at the minute. Our last win was the last time that we beat them with the 3-1 victory. So sorry, the last that we lost was the 1-0 loss doing at the Rock. So, you know, we'll be coming into this game full of confidence, looking to secure that second spot and try and end the season end the regular season on a good footing.
Yeah, it'd be great to get a win. You've got a draw against Spartans and a win against Dumbarton, your 2 closest competitors, you know, throughout the season. And just that bit of confidence going into, you know, the semi-finals or the playoffs that you've come off in the back of a win against a good Dumbarton. As you said, they're unbeaten in their last 7 as well. So there'll be no mugs. It wouldn't be a case where we just turn up and we win the game. It'll be a hard-fought 90 minutes. I'm sure Ryan and Jordan will be, you know, getting that point across in training this week. It's not just a case of you turn up and you get the 3 points. It'll be a hard-fought game, but, you know, one that I'm very confident that we can at least get a point out of.
And as I said, Spartans playing East Fife. East Fife have lost the last 3, having started off pretty well under Dick Campbell. They've lost the last 3 in a row. It is their last home game of the season, so again, they'll be looking to try and, you know, obviously turn that form around a little bit and try and push on and win. But Spartans will trying as hard as they can to try and get as high up as in the league as they can. So, again, we'll have one eye on that one as well.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one. Dick Campbell will want to end the season well at East Fife going into the pre-season, the off-season that we've got. But I just fancy Spartans, right? They've got something to play for, whereas East Fife didn't really have anything to play for. I think that game, second half, could be crucial for Spartans. You know, try to turn the screw, depending on what the result is, the score is at Balmoors. But I'd be expecting Spartans to come out with a win and being on top in that game.
And for us, we'll have Kieran Shanks back after his 2-game suspension. There's possibility that Rory McAllister could be in for a starting berth as well. It depends on what the guys think about, you know, going into the playoffs. Do they obviously they'll look to try and win the game, but try and win it with without sort of having any more injuries or suspensions going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think Kieran would probably start the game. Whether he completes 90 minutes is a different matter. I think he'll say he's been played for 2 weeks. It'd be good to get some minutes in the legs, you know, going into the semi-finals. Maybe Rory might play the last half out as well, a wee bit more, you know, time in his legs, and again just getting him up to a wee bit of match speed again. Because, you know, if you get through the semi-finals, you're playing 4 games in under 2 weeks, so it's a lot of football, and it'll be a squad rotation game.
Yeah, and there could be a few changes for Saturday's game. I mean, you look at the starting 11. Anybody that doesn't start on Saturday, we will find them. It will feel themselves a unlucky not to. I mean, Conor O'Keefe played up front in the 2 games that Kieran was suspended, didn't do anything wrong, and obviously ended the game playing wide as well. Robert Ward came off the bench and did well. Joe McKee again come off the bench as well. So, you know, we sort of speak about the squad, and it is a decent squad that we've got, really good squad that we've got. We've got a lot of depth in it. It'll be interesting to see how they tackle this one and who starts and who is on the bench.
can add Danny Strachan into that list as well. He hasn't played much football lately, just coming over an injury, but again, a really good player to have coming back into the fold. And yeah, as you said, I'll be interested to see how Ryan and Jordan sort of face up this game. It's one that you know it's completely in your own hands. You know, go out there and win the game. But at the same time, you do have that one eye on the semi-final playoffs in terms of, you know, who do you play. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting team selection for the bosses.
And that's the thing, because we now know that when the playoffs is going to be played, the semi-final first leg will be played on the Tuesday, and then the second leg will be played on the Saturday. Should we get through that, you're then playing again Tuesday, and then the final second leg will be on the Friday night live on BBC Alba, as is the final first leg on the Tuesday night. So you know you're going to be in for a tough schedule for the potentially for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's why I think the last couple of weeks the guys have been looking at the workload of the players in terms of not only just in training but in the matches as well. They have been, I think, more keen to use substitutions this last 3-4 weeks than they maybe have been prior games. I think the team selection on Saturday will probably be one of, this is a strong team to go and win the game, but they've also got that one eye on Tuesday night for the playoffs as well.
Yeah, because as we said, I mean, whoever starts is good enough to start within the squad.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's no one player carrying, or you know, they're being carried by the rest of the guys. Anybody that starts, you go, yeah, that is a squad that can win. And I think that's exactly for Ryan Jordan will do on Saturday. It'll be a squad that can go to win, but I do think they will maybe have one eye on the game on Tuesday, because as I said, you're going to be Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday at bare minimum, and then if you get through that, you're adding on another two games, which would then be Saturday, Tuesday, Friday. So again, 3 games in 6 days for part-time players, it's a lot to take on, but you know, as we've said before, it's the business end of the season, that's what you want to be involved in.
Okay, joining me now to speak about Saturday's game against Dumbarton is the man with the biggest microphone in podcast history. It is Fraser Clark. Fraser, welcome back to the Bluetooth podcast. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me. I know I'm not using my microphone because we've had God knows how many technical issues over the past half an hour that neither of us could sort. So I've got this smashing big microphone that is effectively an ornament.
The gremlins towards the end of the season, I think, pretty much has summed up both our club seasons so far. But I'd like to finally get you back on again. There has been so many permutations of what after Saturday's or before Saturday's games, I should say, coming into Saturday's games. Basically, for both clubs now, it's in our hands. A draw would basically secure second and third for both clubs.
Yeah, and I would really like it if the clubs had agreed on this in advance, and then I wouldn't have had to write 4 different programmes.
Yeah, I know, because we were driving away down the road and we were going, like, what happens if this happens? What if B happens? What happens if C happens? I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. You know, clubs going into the last game of the season and not knowing who they're playing on the Tuesday.
It's really, really bizarre, because I messaged you after the game on Saturday actually about it, because I looked at live score, must have been about 4:30, and Suns were 4th in the league. And then I looked again about 4:45 and we were 2nd in the league. And by the time I'd walked from my seat, which is kind of in line with the penalty box, down to the tunnel to do post-match, then we were back down to 3rd.
Yeah, and believe me, we took great delight in going from 4th up to 2nd in the 96th minute. So much so that some of the Spartans spectators, right before we scored, were going, well, it'd be nice to kind of maybe go up to Peterhead again, and maybe or go up to Dumbarton and see what happens. But yeah, so bizarre. How's Dumbarton's season been then as a whole? I think you've got maybe 5 points less than you had last season. As a whole, what would you say about the season?
I'd say it feels like an improvement on last season, on the basis that last season we started with 7 straight wins and then the form tailed off. I was looking at it earlier, and going into the playoffs last year, we had 2 wins from our last 10 games. The moment we're unbeaten in 7, I don't think either club's going to be too fussed by the result of the weekend. Like, that's not going to define how they go into the playoffs. But to go in with a wee bit of form actually feels positive. I mean, Steny had the league wrapped up so early. I mean, they must have had it wrapped up effectively by about February. felt like both ourselves, Peter Eden, to a degree, Spartans, like form sort of tailed off. They were just like, right, we're not going to win the league. And then they've sort of taken a breather almost, got that second win back. And you look at it, I think you guys haven't lost since you last played us at home back in March.
Yes, right.
Spartans have since they last played us about 2 or 3 weeks after that. And we haven't lost since March the 9th. So all three clubs from League Two have almost, they've had the disappointment. They've got over the disappointment. They've kind of had a wee chance to recharge their batteries. And now they're all going in with very, very similar records. Mm-hmm. And this is probably the first time, certainly in Stevie Farrell's tenure, this is the third season we've been in the playoffs. Obviously, once to avoid the drop, once to go up. This is the first time we're going in probably with a bit of optimism and like a decent bit of form. We had 9 players on the bench on Saturday, so like the squad's looking in a really strong place. And there just feels, last year it was like the collapse was so disappointing that we went into the playoffs, and I don't think anyone, players might dispute that, but didn't feel like players, fans, anybody really believed we'd do anything. The season felt like a disappointment because we hadn't won the league. This season it feels like the playoffs are something to get excited about again.
Have you been keeping one eye on what's been happening in League One?
Massively, massively, because I don't want to face Annan, and I don't know how you feel about it, but to me, Annan looked like a team who took a while to get acclimatised to League One and are kind of paying the price for that slow start to the season. But their form in recent weeks has been really, really good. Like taking a point from Falkirk at the weekend, getting a late goal, like they look pretty formidable. And if they go into the playoffs, I think they'd be favourites. From a personal point of view, Stirling Albion's 10 minutes from my house. So that's a much bigger benefit if we play them. And also there's like, they obviously beat Suns to the league last season. I've no idea if the club will be thinking like this. But from my point of view, it's like, right, this is the chance to get revenge for that. And, you know, I don't doubt that that's going to be maybe on the mind of some of our players, right? You beat us the league last season, so let's go relegate you and we'll go up. So I've been hoping for Stirling Albion's maybe the wrong word, not in terms of like on the pitch, because I think there is such a big step up to League One that whoever the League One club is, it's going to be a really difficult game for one of the League Two sides. But I've looked at it and gone, well, Queen of the South full time, they've had a dreadful season, but you'd fancy them to be strong. You don't want to play them twice in a week. Annan look like they're really hitting a bit of form. They've got something going there. Stirling Albion are maybe the ones you want. And then that's you know, before I take into account travelling and before I take into account a wee bit of revenge for last season.
Yeah, and the way that the fixture gods have worked as well with Annan and Stirling playing on the last day seems to be a bit kind of a poetic. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there. I guess the ideal scenario for everybody would be, you know, well, if Dumbarton and Peterhead both finish second and third, Spartans can then beat whoever finishes in ninth in League One.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just leave them to do the dirty work, and we'll play out like the most timid, friendly sort of performance that you've ever seen. Nobody really laying a glove on anyone else just in case they get hurt, and, you know, save it for the real thing. Because I think it's so strange to be potentially looking at playing the same team 3 times in 7 days. That's strange full stop. But to play it when one of those games matters, really not a jot. Like, every single player who's out there on Saturday, their main thing is going to be, right, I need to get through 90 minutes and I need to not get injured so I miss the big games on Tuesday and Saturday. It's such a weird situation to be in. And part of me is like, right, well, I really hope if Suns get the win, then that's maybe a mental advantage going into the next game. The other part of me is like, but if we get the win, players burst their backsides off and we play a full strength team, this game doesn't really matter. And Tuesday's when it matters, and all of a sudden we've maybe given away a game plan, given away tactics, players aren't as sharp. So it's an interesting one to see how both teams play it. And I think Suns will rotate, and I don't think they'll place a great deal of importance on it. But I also know Stevie Farrell's very keen to keep this unbeaten run going and take it towards 8 games, and then potentially if you win the playoffs, you'd be looking at a double-figure unbeaten run, which is phenomenal for any club.
Because I guess if you look at it, if you win the game, again, the way that the playoffs go, you could potentially be coming back to Balmoore again on the Tuesday night. And in all honesty, would the players and the fans want to be doing that?
No, and I think that's why that's another kind of strange aspect, because you might have a situation where it possibly suits both teams better to have the game, the home game, on the Tuesday night, because it's going to be the same with your guys. Like, nobody's going to feel fresh travelling down for a midweek game. Okay, there'll be that added excitement that it's the playoffs, but nobody's going to feel fresh, and they'd far rather have, right, we'll have the midweek game at home where we're maybe only travelling half an hour, 40 minutes of the game or whatever after work, and then we'll have the Saturday game where you can travel up, you can maybe stop off for a bit of lunch or whatever and just treat it like a normal day. So again, you've got a situation where you have two clubs playing each other. It might suit them to lose.
You can guarantee if it's 0-0 at 80 minutes, nothing's going to be happening in that last 80 minutes, last 10 minutes.
That's Peterhead time as well. I've seen the ridiculous stats about the amount of I mean, nothing happens in Peterhead games up until the 80th minute anyway. Then it all kicks off.
No, there you go. it's instead of Fergie time, we call it Peterhead time now.
I mean, those stats I was looking at, I think, was it the club? I couldn't remember if it was your account or the club account put it up on Twitter. And, like, the amount of late goals, because you've done that to Suns twice this season. With the game, the first game of the season back in September at The Rock with the goal, I think, 86 minutes. And then with the game up at Balmoor where all three goals came in the last 10 minutes. And even thinking back to the last meeting, must have been the last kick of the ball when Danny Strachan, I think it was, blazed over what looked like a certain goal with the last kick of the ball. So there's something... Yeah, something to be wary about. Unless we're 3-0 up with 85 minutes played, I won't be particularly relaxed.
But we've come back for 3-0 doing against Forfar before we were with 20 minutes to go, so I wouldn't be counting your chickens there either. Just quickly, I want to get your thoughts on the League 2 Team of the Year. So that was announced a week or so ago. Obviously, a lot of Stenhouse Muir players, as you would expect. What was your sort of take on the League 2 Team of the Year?
I would have had Michael Ruth in there. That was a big topic of discussion with my wee group. Just in terms, he might not be the most prolific. And he's up at, I think, 13 for the season now, 12? Yeah, 13 for the season now, which is fine. Like, you know, it's a decent enough return. But I honestly would not swap him for any other striker in the division. And I thought, on the basis that very few defenders have had an easy time against him, you know, he might not be scoring, dragging them out of position, he's dragging them wide, he's pushing them about a wee bit. I thought we might see him in over maybe Matty Aitken, who has kind of gone off the boil a wee bit. And you've got obviously Aitken and Henderson. Like Henderson, oh God, this is going to come back and haunt me, seems to struggle a wee bit against Dumbarton. Like Cammy Russell has looked a massive threat against us. Henderson's looked a wee bit one-dimensional. You can't argue with his goal return. Like it's absolutely outstanding. And I just wondered if maybe Michael Ruth over Matty Aitken might be one I was expecting. I was pleased to see Carlo in at right back, obviously, but yeah, I Michael Ruth was the one who I expected to be in, maybe more so than Carlo as well.
I mean, there's an argument that Carlo could have gone anywhere along that team, really.
That's the big question. Like, nobody seems to know when his best position is. And I spoke to him after, so up at Forfar, he started at right wing. He moved to right back for a bit when Aaron Linus cut his head open for about the third week in succession. And then he moved into sort of left central midfield. And I said, where do you think is your best position? He was just like, don't really know. Quite like playing midfield because you're getting the ball more. Quite like taking players on. So like the wing kind of suits and being out wide. I've watched him for two whole seasons now. And I still don't know where I'd put him. He played it right back at the weekend. And him and Calvin Orsi had a really, obviously they're cousins. So like they know each other inside out. Really, really good going forward, but they both got kind of drawn a wee bit too much into having fun going forward and trying all these flicks and tricks and like just the two of them linking up, playing their own game and forgot to defend. So I think I would be tempted for the playoffs, especially given we're going to be playing against teams with a bit more, you know, no disrespect to Elgin, but with a bit more quality going forward than Elgin had. I would probably like to see him in central midfield with Calvin out wide and Aaron Linus back at fullback, probably. But I have no idea where he will play.
So he could be playing left back then.
Yeah, that's the only position I've not seen him play. Yeah, I've never seen him play at left back. I've never seen him play up front. I've seen him play every other outfield position for us. Brilliant. And he was really good in all of them.
There you go. You might see that in the playoffs. Finally then, obviously, we sort of touched on this game being almost like a dead rubber kind of thing. But they'll obviously... There are unbeaten runs for both sides to keep going and keep that momentum going. Obviously we need to keep an eye on what's happening with the Spartans result as well. So if at any stage either side are getting beat, we're checking up the Spartans score as well. So there is still that element that we could either side could end up playing being fourth.
Yeah, I mean that's the really bizarre thing, and you would imagine the players probably won't know what's going on. I wouldn't imagine that they'd even be that interested in what's going on. If they had somebody on the bench going, oh, that's Spartans 2-1 up, ever. But I don't think it would interest him to a degree. It's like, concentrate on that and then just back yourself to win the next game. It's just a really, really weird situation to be in that, you know, in 8 days' time, Dumbarton are playing somebody. It might be Peterhead away, so that's 2.5 hours north for me. It might be Annan away, that's like 2 hours south. And we have no, it could be somewhere in between. And we have no idea where it is or who it is. And no, there's not even like you can look at it and go, oh, well, you're 80% sure it'll be Peterhead away or 80% sure it'll be Annan. Like, it could go any way at all. And I think that Annan Stirling Albion game, I'm very glad that my team's not in it, but that could be an absolute cracker.
Yeah, and the thing is, we're sort of going, oh, who's it going to be? Where we're going? But we wouldn't want it any other way because we're in the playoffs and that's the most important thing.
Exactly, and if we were in the relegation playoffs, it wouldn't have the same buzz. But we're just like, no, that's a free shot. It's a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And we're going in good form. The first time I've looked forward to playoffs since probably 2011-12.
Well, there you go. So we'll end it there on a positive note. Fraser, pleasure to talk to you again. Maybe not over the fashion that we would have liked to have ended it, but it's been great to chat with you over the course of the season. We might be chatting again next week. You never know. We'll see how things go. But until then, thanks for coming on and really appreciate your time.
No problem at all. This time next week, maybe we'll get Zoom working.
Well, maybe we will. That is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Fraser Clark for joining me to preview Saturday's game against Dumbarton, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. Thank you to everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in. We do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.